Deep breath. Because guess what? This is the last week of this sermon series. And more importantly, of the adventure that we started 12 weeks ago with Disciple Maker. So let me just go ahead and recap these seven laws that we have laid out. And remember, these are not laws as in thou shalt and thou shalt not. They are more like natural laws. If you want the result, you've got to consider how it's supposed to work. Law of context tells us real church growth is local, not important, not imported. The law of power tells us that real church growth is powered by the gospel, not relevance. The law of mission tells us real good church growth starts with the culture of mission, not worship. The law of love tells us real church growth is validated by unity, not numbers. The law of leadership tells us real church growth is led by calling, not celebrity. The law of development tells us real church growth is about growing people, not managing programs. And after 5 weeks of Disciple Maker and now 6 weeks of Grow Church Grow, you know where I am. I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I didn't do a good enough job explaining all of this to you. And I'm even more afraid that after today, when this is all done, we're going to file this sermon series away with all of our blanks filled in. It's just some more sermons. And we're just going to move on and not move forward. I am afraid that we're going to continue to do church and not commit ourselves to make disciples. With one sermon left, I understand it is immensely important that for this sermon, we stick the landing. In case you're wondering, that is my favorite scene in this movie. And yeah, I know if you think back probably about 10 years ago, I've used this clip before. And it's an emotional moment. I was in the movie theater the first time I saw that scene. And can I just tell you, when Todd Anderson stepped up on that desk, the movie theater erupted. They were cheering because things were about to change. But you need to know, we didn't get to that scene without cost. One of the young men wanted to follow his dream. However, his parents forbid it. And under intense pressure, he took his life. The school and the other parents, trying to cover themselves, forced the other boys to sign papers, blaming Mr. Keaton for the death of young Neil. Mr. Keaton has now been fired and told to pack his things immediately and leave. But they're too late. Folks, that old man could stand there and yell, "Sit down," until he turns blue in the face and passes out from oxygen asphyxiation. There is no going back. You cannot unring the bell. And kind of on a Robin Williams comment here, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Because the boys have made a literal and figurative stand. The "O Captain, my Captain" phrase is part of a lesson that Keating taught them earlier in the movie. Sorry, I could not show them all. But please notice something as you look at that picture on the screen. Not everybody, not all of them stood. That's important. Because not everybody is going to understand the lessons that we've taught over the past 12 weeks. Nor will everybody be willing to take up the mission. What mission? Well, could I ask a favor of you? If you brought your copy of God's Word with you today, would you please turn to Acts chapter 2? If you didn't, will you please pull one out the pew rack in front of you and you can make your way to Acts chapter 2 as we discuss this final law. It is the law of vision. Real church growth is energized by shared imagination, not shared preference. Now, I'm going to join you in Acts chapter 2 in just a moment. But before I do, we've got to do the Barry thing. I want to make sure we get our terms and our definitions completely straight. Preference, a greater liking for one alternative over another or others. A preference is about choosing what is good for me. It is in choosing, I take no consideration of any other person except for myself. If you think back to week one of this sermon series, preference is one of those P's that we talked about. And well, it's one of those things that we beat very hard when we were looking at our fake tree. The word energize, give vitality and enthusiasm to. This is what gets our blood pumping. It makes our heart beat. It gets me excited even thinking about doing whatever it is that energizes me. The word shared is possessed in common with one another. Shared is the opposite of preference. It makes me think about me, not about me, but about we. I have to consider myself as not as an individual, but as part of the team. And then we get to a word that I love, probably because I have a very vivid one. The word is imagination. The faculty or action of forming new ideas or images or concepts. The ability of the mind to create, to be creative, or, I love this word, resourceful. To help us understand what needs to happen next when this sermon series is all done, after we work our way through Christmas and start our new ideas in 2025. Well, I want to turn back to the section of scriptures that I actually read in the very first week of this sermon series. And hopefully by now you are in Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to be in verses 17 through 18. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Sorry, got to click my slide. Hopefully you followed it along in Scripture. And as I read that thing, the first thing I have to ask myself is, who's Peter talking to? To whom is he speaking when he talks about these words? And well, in the direct moment, he is speaking to the Jews gathered around him there in Jerusalem. The ones that have witnessed this thing that we call Pentecost. The fire arriving, the wind blowing, the speaking in tongues. And they're standing there and they're thinking, what on earth is going on? But I personally believe the picture is much bigger. See, because although he is referencing Joel in the Old Testament, the idea of God's Spirit being poured out was a revolutionary concept to his audience. Now, they had heard the Holy Spirit coming. As a matter of fact, usually when it came, it had a tendency to leave in the Old Testament. Psalm 51, verse 11, do not cast me from your presence, or do not take your Holy Spirit from me. But in that moment, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came, and it was here to stay. And every follower received it. Not the 12 little people. It wasn't 12 little fires. I talked about this last week. Every follower received it. That's important, especially to our law of unity, because that Spirit is what unites us with God. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It also unites us together. It is our commonality. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit of and of one mind. That's a lot of ones, isn't it? We'll come back to those ones here right after the first of the year. But today I want to talk about action. It's really nice to sit and listen to a sermon and be entertained by the slides and whatever crazy thing the minister came up with. But folks, this isn't about a sermon. This is about three very specific actions laid out there in Acts chapter 2. And therefore, I have a question for you. Are we prepared to prophesy? Now, I want to make sure you get that word, because it doesn't mean we're supposed to all go out to the local store and buy ourselves a little round crystal ball and sit around and try fortune telling for a living. Because prophecy, the noun, means you tell about the future events. That's prophecy. That is not the word that is used here. The word here is prophesy, which is a verb, not a noun. And it means to utter by or to speak as if divinely inspired. Do we feel that in our church? Do we feel this divine inspiration to speak? Now, when I talk about this idea of prophesying, there are a couple of big things I want to point out to you. First of all, in our actions, and this is the other two actions, visions and dreams, it comes before and after visions. Did you see that in the verses? Verses that I read, he started off talking about prophesying, and when he was finished, he was all done talking about, he ended with this idea of prophesying. And this is important because our desire to speak will fuel our vision and dreams. Of course, you do understand that that makes the inverse also true. It means that our visions and dreams should inspire us to speak. It's really a simple concept. If we are not speaking, then we will never truly have visions and dreams for God. And if our visions and dreams do not inspire us to speak, then they are not truly visions and dreams from God. That's pretty blunt. Yes, I know. See, that's the important part. These things have to connect together. And before I move on to begin talking about visions and dreams, I got to go where demons fear to tread. You need to remember, speaking is all inclusive. See, when I say the word prophesy and we see the word speak, the best word you get there is speak. But when we speak boldly about the things in God's word, we like to use the word preach. Isn't that what preaching is? To speak boldly from God's word. I need you to see this. It said sons and daughters. Huh? Sons and daughters. Even to the point that Peter circles back around and Joel circles back around. He says, let me make sure you hear that. It said even sons and daughters. Now, why is that important? Speaking and preaching is not a God thing. I mean, it's not a guy thing. It's a follower thing. Everybody is given the ability to speak, and I'll even use the word, or preach for God. As long as you are doing so under the authority of the Spirit and you're speaking God's word. As long as you are presenting the gospel. So I'm just going to boil this down, and again, simple statement here, folks. If we are filled with God's Spirit, then we will have visions. We will have vision to speak on God's behalf. So if you're filled by the Spirit, they could not stop their tongues. They wagged and they could not control them. They had to speak. Therefore, if you are filled with God's Spirit, then I have to assume that you will get a vision to speak. And that brings me to my next really interesting question. Do we have vision? Now, when I say the word vision, it is broken down into three very distinct aspects. Healthy vision includes where I've been. So part of my vision is remembering where I came from. I had a long path to standing right here. I've had a lot of twists and turns on my road. I've had some very dark moments. I've had some very good moments. I've had some moments that I never want to remember in my entire life, but I have to remember how I got here if I'm going to have a vision to speak. Of course, I also have to remember where I'm at, that which I'm here today. Therefore, when I begin to have a vision, it requires me to evaluate what I'm doing today. Sometimes we like to skip this part because it makes me feel real guilty when I start to evaluate what am I doing this day, this point in my life. And then, of course, there is the part that usually we associate with vision. Where am I going? And we start making a plan. And that's the point that I kind of want to pick at this morning, because vision must result in a plan, or otherwise it's not a vision. If the only thing coming out of your vision is a slogan, then what you've got is a bumper sticker, not a vision. If your vision gives you no course for action, then you don't have a vision. You're not going to move. And eventually, without a vision, you're going to stop speaking. And when you stop speaking, then there'll be no more vision and no more dreams. So as I am looking at these verses, I have to ask ourselves a very important question. How long has it been since we had a real vision for the lost here at Parkview Christian Church? Not a vision that focuses on how good things used to be. And not a vision that emphasizes how bad things are. Instead, a vision that inspires us to speak. I mean, is there anything that is more important or more urgent or more effective than sharing the gospel? And immediately we're going to start bobbing. Of course, that's what we believe. That's what we think. And our mouths are going to echo, sure. Perhaps that's something we should consider, because oftentimes our visions speak very different than our head bopping up and down. Do we really have a vision for the lost? Of course, maybe the reason we have no vision for the lost is because we're missing another really key component that it takes to make a church grow. Do we have dreams? Now, I'm not talking about daydreams, okay? Daydreams are the things we talk about, but we never act on. They're simply our mind wandering, and there's no thought to ever actually implementing anything that we're daydreaming about. Daydreams will never produce vision because, honestly, if all you're doing is daydreaming, you're dealing in fantasies. I'm talking about a real dream. And here's the thing. I love these verses because when Joel and Peter and God's Spirit brings Peter back to this particular point and they begin talking about this, they associate the idea of dreaming dreams with old people. I will let you decide whether you're an old people or not. Okay, I'm not calling people old today, but he associates the ability to dream dreams for God with old people. And there's irony to this, because the older you get, generally what happens, the smaller your dreams become. And that makes perfectly good sense, because you've lived many of your dreams, and honestly, at this point, you're beginning to think, and you're beginning to feel like it is time to pass the torch. I've dreamed my last dream. We'll be back to old people in the church last week of the year when we start casting our vision. And again, you can decide whether you're an old people in the church. I'm not going to give you that title. But for today, I just want to tell you something. As Peter says, your old men will dream dreams. I can hear it. Even when time is short, and even when the world is dark, and even when you think nobody is listening, keep dreaming. Until your race is run and your battle is done, keep dreaming. Dreams are where our imagination can go wild. The possibilities are endless. I never have to worry about a checkbook or time when it comes to my dreams. Everything is possible inside of my imaginations. So maybe I just need to keep dreaming. Plutarch, a Greek biographer and an author, states it this way when he spoke of Alexander the Great. When Alexander the Great saw the breadth of his domain, he wept. There were no more worlds to conquer. The quote is not to show how great Alexander was, nor how great his accomplishments were, but instead the ultimate sadness there is in the fact there's nothing left to dream about. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. We tried it all, done it all. What's left to do? We have to keep dreaming. You see, as people created in God's image, we are designed to be curious and creative individuals. You're built that way. This is the reason we build rocket ships to go to the moon. This is the reason they built boats to cross the ocean. This is the reason we just can't let things go, because we are designed to be creative for God. Here's something else that you probably have never considered. We were made to dream dreams for ourselves and for God. That's part of our purpose in creation. That's why God put us here. He had plenty of animals, and he had plenty of dogs and cats, and he had plants, but he couldn't relate to them because, you know what? They're animals. They live by instinct. Therefore, he reached out and he created humanity in his own image. The ability to think, to decide, to conquer, but also to create. And the ability to dream. So I have to ask a question. When was the last time that we, Parkview Christian Church, had a dream? You understand, you're sitting in a dream right now. There was a time on this planet, this building wasn't here. It was somebody's dream to reach people in the community of Stanton, and they needed it, and so they dreamt about a place. That's an okay dream. You realize if you ever signed on to our online service when you were sick or traveling or during the time of COVID, that was a dream. That was a dream. The reason that we keep tweaking things on this stage and painting walls different colors and swapping furniture around isn't because I'm bored. It's because we keep looking at the online service and we're like, you know what? How can we make that dream better? So we keep tweaking and changing, but you understand that started as a vision and a dream. Work had to be done. Parts had to be bought. Pieces put in place. You listened to another dream this morning. We call it today, it's a worship team. You understand that was a dream? It didn't exist at one point in this church. Somebody had to come up with the idea that, you know what? The minister doesn't have to lead worship. It should be the people leading worship. And so a dream was born. It meant instruments and recruiting people. And it means people have to, but it started as a dream. Up on the hill from our parking lot, on our parking lot, there is a blessing box. You know that was a dream? It was a crazy dream. What kind of people takes food that you go and buy at a store and puts it out in a bin for people to just come and steal? They're not stealing them. We're giving it away. Did the dream make sense to some people? Nah. It was a waste of time. You want to know how many lives have been impacted by a dream? Just come here one day and sit at the building and just sit there at that window and watch the traffic go by there. When they check that those bins, and man, if it's just been filled, they're excited. Sometimes they pull and it's not there and they go away, but they'll be back. Because that's the way dreams work. And I bring these up not to toot your horn or not to say, look, this is what we have done. I'm asking you, what will we do next? When it comes to our children's ministry, do we have a dream for our kids? When it comes to our ladies' ministry, do we have a dream for our ladies? When it comes to our men's ministry, do we have a dream for our men? When it comes to the world, lost. Do we have a dream for them? Because you do realize the only way for a church to grow is for us to take action. We have to speak clearly, plan wisely, and absolutely, positively, never stop dreaming. Oh, Captain, my Captain, why am I standing on this pew? Go ahead. To see the world differently. Are you tired of looking at the world through the past? Are you ready to look at the world through a dream? No matter how crazy it is, no matter what we think it can't be done, you understand, we always quote the verse, all things are possible through God. And then we turn around and say, but we can't do that. Isn't that kind of silly? Sometimes, folks, it has to just start with one dream. One vision, one moment, one person that decides, I'm going to go and speak. One person that says, you can't silence me. One person can change the world. But can you imagine what happens when that one person becomes one people? A church that is willing to dream a dream, to catch a vision, to speak for people about the person that we call Lord and Savior. And his name is Jesus. I'm going to ask the worship team to join me back up here. We are heading to the end of the year. This sermon series is done. We'll cut the last video and post it this afternoon, or probably tomorrow morning because we have puppet practice this afternoon. But you do understand, hopefully this is not the end. We're going to go through Christmas, and we've got something different and unusual and maybe a little weird for Christmas. That's okay. And then we're going to hit next year. Here's my hope. We're going to spend a lot of time over the next few months talking about what are we going to do next year? Ladies are going to make plans. Children are going to make plans. Leaders are going to make plans. We're going to have a congregational meeting. We're going to do all of these things that we do as part of our church process. Let me challenge you. Before you do one more meeting for anything about next year, stop and ask yourself, what is the dream for my ministry? My small group, for our kids, for our leaders, for our church, for our community, for our worship. What are you dreaming about? And if you come back with, I don't have a dream, then maybe it's time that you go and you start doing some speaking. And just see if God can help you catch the vision. We are supposed to be a church of dreamers, of visionaries, speaking to the world about a Savior, because that is what they need to hear.